ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नारायण नमस्कृत्य
नारायण
नमस्कृत्य
देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं
ततो जाय मन्दिरये
न भजति कुमसीनां साइजायम्
हरे अदनात्मा धनप्रियो रसाजना सुतर्थनकुलकर्मणां
मदरीये
विदधति पापम् अकिनाशेन सतु
न भजति कुमसीनां साइजायम्
हरे अदानात्मा धनप्रियो रसाजना श्रुतार्थनाकुलकर्मणां
मदाद्रये विदधति पापम् अकिंचन सतु
न भजति कुमसीनां
साइजायम्
हरे अदात्मा धनप्रियो रसाजना सुतार्थनाकुलकर्मणां
मदायत्रे
विदधति पापम् अकिनेषु सतु Word to word meaning. Never.
Bhajati.
Accepts. Kumasinam.
A person.
With a dirty heart. Saha.
He.
Ijam. Offering.
Hari.
The Supreme Lord. Adana.
Adana.
To those who have.
Yeah.
No material possessions.
Atmadana.
Simply depending on the Lord. Priyaha. Who's dear?
Rasagnya.
Who accepts the essence of life.
Shuta.
Education.
Dana.
Wealth.
Kula.
Aristocracy.
Karmanam.
And of fruitive activities.
Madari.
By pride.
All those who.
Vidanti.
Perform.
Papam.
Disgrace.
Akinchaneshu. Without material possessions.
Satsu.
And to devotees. Translation by Pope as Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes very dear to those devotees who have no material possessions but are fully happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Indeed, the Lord relishes the devotional activities of such devotees. Those who are puffed up with material education, wealth, aristocracy and fruitive activity are very proud of possessing material things and they often deride the devotees. Even if such people offer the Lord worship, the Lord never accepts them. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. He does not even accept the offerings of those who or not devotees. A pure devotee is one who feels he does not possess anything material. A devotee is always happy in possessing the devotional service of the Lord. Devotees may sometimes appear materially poor, but because they are spiritually advanced and enriched, they are the most dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such devotees are free from attachment to family, society, friendship, children, and so on. They abandon affection for all these material possessions and are always happy in possessing the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead understands the position of his devotee. If a person derides a pure devotee, he is never recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, Supreme God never excuses one who offends a pure devotee. There are many examples of this in history. A great mystic yogi, Durvasamuni, offended the great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. The great sage Durvasa was to be chastised by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Even though the great mystic directly approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was never excused. Those on the path of liberation should be very careful not to offend a pure devotee.
Amajnana Timirantasya Jnanam Janashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamaniyam Dadati Svapadantam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uttarakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamascha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathamitam Samsajivam Sadvaitam Sarvabhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhadutamascha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Rale Vrindavaneshwari Rishabham Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vanchagata Rubhyascha Kripasindhu Yatevacha Patitanam Pavane Yo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we are continuing to hear Narada Muni instructing the Prachetas. This particular section of this instruction talks about how pure devotional service satisfies the all-powerful Lord. Yesterday's verse talked about the intimacy between the Lord and his devotees. How the devotees are getting cleansed of their material desires and they are also becoming free from their mental contamination. Such devotees feelingly address the Lord. Now from the Lord's side, he becomes controlled and he never leaves them. Today's verse is kind of continuation of the Lord's reciprocation towards such devotees who have given up all their possessions, their family connections, and who have taken up the Lord as their only shelter. What is the Lord's reciprocation to such a devotee? On the other hand, how the Lord deals with those who are puffed up with Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri, by their aristocracy, by the wealth, by their fruitive activities. How does he deal with them? So now dealing with qualities which are described about those who have lot of dirt in the heart, who are proud of their wealth, their aristocracy, and who are filled with pride, and who don't deal properly with devotees. I thought that's my platform. I can start off from that, put myself in that situation, I can relate to that. From there, how do I progress? Because it is a kumasa, person with a dirty heart, and madahi by pride, and who don't behave well with devotees, who cause disgrace to few devotees. By understanding the actual position of the living entity, as given by Srila Prabhupada in his purports, and one particular lecture on the fifth chapter, when he's talking about the position of the living entity, he begins with an interesting point. If somebody speaks some words harshly against you, naturally you will feel angry. But you are meant to practice tolerance, and you are meant to be humble. As always, Prabhupada brings about the concept of soul. What is the size of the soul? 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair. And what is the size of the grass? It is definitely bigger than 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair.
1,000 times more.
So if you are the size of the tip of the hair, and the grass is much bigger than you, you are meant to be lower than the blade of grass. Whether somebody respects you or disrespects you, you shouldn't be bothered about it. Because you are 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair, that's how much respect you can expect. So he logically proves, since you are not greater than the blade of grass, you better be lesser than the blade of grass. If somebody tells that you are such and such, and they accuse you, Prabhupada explains about, you are coming from a particular nationality, they are accusing you based on that. Well, that's not me, that's just my covering, that's just my dress. On the other hand, if they are praising you, oh, your majesty, your holiness, like that, that is also not me. They are still referring to the outer covering. So, Prabhupada is bringing up the point about how you don't expect any respect from others, because you are 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair, and you don't be disturbed by what others say about you. harsh words, nice words, they are all referring to the outer covering and you are not that covering. At the same time, you, because you are of the size of the tip of the hand, you better respect others. So not expecting respect and be willing to give respect to others. So that I felt I can relate to that. This platform that I can start off, I'm getting convinced that this is my size and I must act according to my size. So Prabhupada puts us in proper perspective. So this humility is the antidote to the poison of pride. Second way of coming out of pride, due to the things that are mentioned in this verse, especially that of education, wealth, aristocracy, and of fruitive activities. By understanding the temporary nature of these, elsewhere in Bhagavatam, these are described as valuable soldiers who you can't rely on. So, you can't be proud of having something temporary which is going to be taken away from you at any point of time. So that is the second way of overcoming the madha or the pride. First by humility, second by understanding the temporary nature of what you are possessing. The pleasure that it gives is also temporary. And then the amount of time stays with you, that's also going to be temporary. Third is by going into little details about understanding the elements of pride. This is from His Holiness Sri Ramaswamy's lecture on the instructions to the mind, Manasiksha, where Maharaj quotes the different elements of pride. First aspect of pride is, first element of pride is, you are getting illusion. Why? Because you are becoming satisfied and you are becoming complacent, not very serious about spiritual pursuits. Where is this coming from? Satisfaction and complacency coming from material achievements, which we discussed is temporary. It gives a kind of a rush, and till the point you get it, you are driven by it, and that keeps you in a sense of an illusion, complacent towards inquiry in spiritual topics. And you start measuring your progress based on what you achieve materially. And you start becoming proud. So the first element is illusion. Second element is deceit. It is tricky in the sense that you become satisfied even in the spiritual circles by just the externals. That is one of the externals that you can be proud of is your birth, the amount of spiritual knowledge that you have, combine that with the amount of material knowledge that you have, combine that with the external dress, combine that with your way of speech, demeanor, all that leads to deceit, where we portray ourselves to be more qualified than who we actually are. The third element is pretense. Pretending to be practicing bhakti, pretending to practice pure devotional service, but doing activities which does not doing activities that are not conducive for pure devotional service in the pretense of doing pure devotional service. So that's why the definition of pure devotional service is very tight. You can't just meddle with that. So if you're pretending to do, it's better to come out of it by understanding the definition of pure devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Smriti. We all know Anya Abhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Adi Anabhutam. So what am I trying to pretend through my karma? Am I trying to pretend that I am a pure devotee, or through my attachment to Jnana, or attachment to yoga? And am I doing it in the right intention to please Krishna? So all that has to be checked. So what is pure devotional service is defined in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu. What we may practice is pretentious devotional service, not pure. So one must be careful to check. The next element is ignorance. You become ignorant of your spiritual identity. No wonder a lot of times in the purport, Prabhupada brings it out, and in his lectures also he brings it out, that you are not the body, you are spirit soul, you are part and parcel of Krishna. One of the elements of pride is that you forget that and you associate with all the material possessions. So if we have Krishna on top, then jivas are subordinate, and material energy is also coming from Krishna. So we were discussing from the purpose of fifth chapter about getting bewildered, how the jiva can identify himself or herself with matter and get bewildered, or you can identify, think that you are the Lord, and you can get bewildered. So overcoming that is having the correct understanding that you are not the matter, and neither are you matter nor are you God. You are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and you are distinct from matter. So this removes ignorance of one's spiritual identity. So you are situated as an eternal servant of the Lord. Now the last element is deviousness, or getting deviated. Now while starting off your practice of bhakti, you will start off with good intention, with pure motive, but as you progress, you may start to deviate, and you may end up getting contaminated by jnana or karma or yoga. So one has to check the motivation not only in the beginning of practice of bhakti, but while practicing bhakti, when you are carrying on devotional activities, am I deviating? Any other motivation which arises, one must check. Again, the definition of pure devotional service helps us. Secondly, the advice from Guru and senior devotees, that will also help us whether we are developing deviousness, and due to that, if you are developing pride. So by understanding the elements of pride, by becoming humble, by understanding the temporary nature of the possessions which cause our pride, we can overcome this particular dirt in the heart, as the verse states here. person should get ready at Kumasana. Mata is trial. We saw how we can overcome that. Now the next step is to function within an institution of devotees. In the Sangha of devotees, you should be able to give respect to other devotees. And in the process of executing your devotional service over a period of time, interacting with devotees at different levels, interacting with Guru and hearing their instructions, we may tend to develop a sense of ill feeling or resentment towards the devotees, Vaishnavas, towards Guru, towards the institution also, and then towards finally, ultimately towards Krishna himself, the Lord. So by analyzing our position within the devotional, what is our adhikar to perform devotional service, where am I situated in the neophyte platform or Madhyama platform, like that. By such introspection, it helps us to focus our dealings and deal with other devotees in a proper way. When dealing with resentment, this feeling of resentment is a bit complex in the sense that it is a combination of anger, fear and frustration, not being given proper justice, and it's like a combination of all that.
Plus ego.
Plus ego. Now, one shouldn't think that in all circumstances that he is right. That's what Maharaj, Sri Ramana Maharaj writes. Bhakti Vinaya Goswami Maharaj writes in this particular section about one shouldn't think that he is always right and that others are always wrong. Whereas he should be able to think that he is also prone to commit mistakes and others are also having good intention, other devotees are doing things to you with a good intention, and you may perceive it as something that is affecting you, and that is because of your own pride. Devotees could be involved in various projects. They could be doing, say for example, 100 different projects or more. And you could be involved or interacting with some devotees who are involved in such many services. And they could be exemplarily doing services. And in this particular dealing with you, in one particular circumstance, they might not behave properly or they might make a mistake. But because we are dealing with this devotee in one particular service, we don't know that the rest of the services that they are doing and how much effort it takes for them, time and commitment to do all that. And when dealing with us in one particular circumstance, if there is a minor mistake, we may tend to zoom into only that and superimpose that image on that particular devotee, not knowing the rest of the picture. Also, we need to understand that whatever we are meant to receive, because we are living with the devotees, we are going to receive it, good or bad, through them, through Guru and through the circumstances that you are put in. So, one must be open receive good or bad in the association of the devotees. There's nothing as bad, it's just a purification, although you may perceive it to be bad. It's very easy to give discourses on karma. Do good, you get good. But when something wrong happens to us, we may forget what we spoke to others. So it's good to keep that in perspective. And thereby you overcome resentment, that feeling, ill feelings towards other devotees. And this will help in the long run. I remember one lecture which Dhyam Kumar was giving in Sydney Temple, where he was sharing this, in fact he said he had a dream that he's meeting Prabhupada and this new edition has come out and he is reaching out to get that new edition, and Prabhupada says that you have to take one other serious responsibility. If you take it up, then I'll give it to you. So he was describing how his responsibility to correct others is not very easy to do. And over a period of dealing with devotees who come and reveal their heart to him, he said, they recollect not only good things but bad things that have happened to them long, long back. It is still there. So Maharaj advised that one shouldn't retain those ill feelings towards other devotees, and that too even having passed many years in the womb and you're still holding on to that, which means you have not moved on. So that those things will create lumps in your heart, and that will not help you to listen the holy name, hear the holy name, hear the scriptures, hear Guru's instructions properly and execute them. One has to get rid of it. First there is not allowed such things to build, and if there is, then one has to take proper steps to remove it. And in that connection, the aspect of removing one's own pride helps. And developing humility helps. Developing the mentality that in that circumstance, that's the best they did to me. And I must be satisfied. They did their best. T-D-T-B. You can use this principle. They did their best. And I must be satisfied with what I have got in a particular circumstance. And we need to move on. And for that, you need to overcome your own pride and develop humility. So this will help in dealings with juniors, equals and seniors. And your mind will not be filled with, your heart will not become dirty in the aspect of dealing with the devotees. You want to accumulate more dirt. So two things is, you need to work on the dirt you already have and not accumulate more. So in dealing with devotees, we are hearing Bhagavatam in the association, hearing the holy name to clean the heart, but in the process we should become more dirt. Now in dealing with resentment or this kind of ill feelings, when something major mishap happens at the level of organization, what can be done? For that, His Holiness Karankar Maharaj in his book Diving Deep, from surface to substance, three layers of spiritual institution, Maharaj describes it as an oil spill happens in a big ocean. The surface gets polluted, the fishes which are on the top level of the ocean, they get affected. Now, those who are looking for excuses to deviate or who are unhappy with the circumstances and who are just floating on the top, not gone deep in their practice, and whose mentality is still more material, so that's why Maharaj said this, Prakrita Bhakta means you are still attached to Prakriti. And your vajana is not steady, your faith can be easily shaken. And when on top of that, if something bad happens at the level of institution, they either deviate, go away, or leave. How to prevent that from happening? Maharaj gives the same ocean example. The ocean is capable of cleansing itself. It is capable of producing waves, throw away the dirt and clean. One has to go deep in their sadhana and in their own practice, which is very simple, and that of hearing, chanting, reading. One is able to go deep, he or she will not be affected by what is happening on the surface. Within the institution, people may come, go, a big position may be taken by somebody, that person may commit a mistake, for this the institution will take proper steps. So that is why within the institution we have proper mechanisms in place for violence against women, children, and all that. So those things will act. And whoever is authorized to take action, they will take action. But one who is absorbed deep in their own bhajan, in their own sadhana, will not be too much carried away by these kind of happenings within the institution. And don't develop resentment against the institution itself. Then you deviate and you leave. Maharaj also quotes Prabhupada's famous line about within the institution, don't expect a perfect scenario. Don't expect utopia. So, by this understanding, you will overcome resentment against the institution itself and you will be able to carry on year after year. Maharaj talks about practicing as per your adhikar and focusing on your sadhana and going deeper, intensifying the practice. So one has to focus on that. And based on that, the influence of material nature will slowly go away, and then the dirt within the heart will also slowly leave. And instead of being focused on getting rid of the unwanted things, you will focus on taste, attachment, and then you will grow gradually. And he quotes the stages of bhakti. So we saw resentment towards other devotees, resentment, real feelings towards the institution. That includes spiritual master also. And looking at real feelings towards Guru and Krishna, how to avoid that is, even the instructions of the Guru at some stage, you are not able to understand that fully, you are not able to fulfill that to the fullest extent in the purpose of the third chapter, 31st verse, interesting points are brought out which we can use. Rather than thinking that this is too much for me to handle and I can't live up to this level of expectations, and thereby, since I'm getting repeated instructions from Guru to practice at this level, which I can't, instead of developing that resentment against Guru, anyway, whatever I ask, he's going to tell the same thing, chant, read, he's not doing anything practical. We may develop that kind of attitude towards the spiritual master, and that whatever takes him away from Krishna, that is a sign of illusion. Whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, know that it is a product of my illusory energy. So one has to recollect the Chaturshloki verse and clearly understand if these things come, even if I am not able to live up to his expectations, I will have firm faith. Yes, so this is the line from 331. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal intentions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the laws of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord. But because one is not resentful of this principle, whenever we hear the instructions, just hear while chanting. What are the things we do chanting? Just hear. I've been hearing this instruction, but I'm not able to just hear. Tell me something new. Tell me something else. No, instead of resenting the instruction itself and asking for something else, when they're saying just hear, okay, how can I implement that? Oh, let me read further of other devotees who have followed the instructions of Prabhupada and what are his disciples telling about how do I just hear? How do I mold my life to get to that platform? If you are not resentful of the instruction of Guru and of Krishna, then Krishna will show you how to execute this order. That firm faith we can relate to this verse about how a layman can cross mountains, a dumb man can speak like a eloquent speaker, Mukham Karoti Vajal, Pangum Langaya Devim, Yat Kripa Kamakumande, Sri Guru Dinamarana. And by the firm faith that just by executing Guru's order, all the imports of the Vedic knowledge will be revealed. It takes time. So coming back to this chanting aspect, just here, we can follow the tips which are helping us to get to the platform of just here. One thing that inspires me is the tips given by His great Guru Prabhu in His Japa book. So recollect that and get to the platform of just here. You make a sankalpa that you will attentively hear. Whether you succeed or not, that's a different thing. That is, you make a sankalpa that I will hear only one mantra. Whenever my mind deviates, the past or present, I will bring it back. So I am trying to move towards the platform of just here. I am not presenting the instruction, but I am taking steps. I am open to it. Because you are open to Guru and Krishna's instructions, further guidelines will be given on how to follow. But if you are blocking, nothing will come. As you surrender, Krishna reciprocates. And Krishna is not, Guru or Krishna is not partial to anyone. They are giving the same. And specifically, your Bhagavan Ashrama, Guru will give different kind of instructions. So you shouldn't compare, oh, why Guru is spending more time with that disciple, he is not spending that time with me. Maybe they need more help. Maybe they are in a more crucial situation than you are. So, this clarity will help us clear away any resentment that we develop towards the spiritual master. One such instruction came in which I couldn't relate to when I was going through some physical ailments. The spiritual master said, "You will come out of your physical sickness if you preach." I'm like, I was expecting a solution from a different angle. But nevertheless, I tried. Now the psychology behind this works like this. If you are too self-centered, if you're thinking about your own ailments, this is not my pain, my agony, my, what happens is the mind focuses on that, and then whatever is like a small puddle of water, the mind will make it as a big ocean. Because your mind is focusing on something negative, it zooms, and then, whereas if I follow by following the instructions, okay, despite that, what is involved in teaching? So the focus shifts from me and mine to giving Krishna to others. So similarly, the focus of mind is elsewhere, and you are in touch with the spiritual sound, the shastras, and the instructions of Guru. So when the mind is focusing on something supreme, the body can heal. Body will get the time to heal. This is the psychology behind it, which I came to know and read books of the by a few devotees of the effect of mind on the body. Then I will understand why this particular instruction was given and how it did produce effect. So we can't go to the spiritual master and get material solutions. And because they are not giving us material solutions, we shouldn't be developing ill feelings towards Guru and Vaishnava and not have proper dealings with them. Because they, Guru and Vaishnava, they possess the supreme wealth, even though externally they may not be very wealthy, and they actually possess the biggest wealth of bhakti. They are adhana, they don't have material possessions, but they are atmadhana, simply dependent on the Lord. And rasajna, who accept the essence of life, which is devotional service. And through this process of reaching out to others, they are actually purifying the whole world. That's the purpose for which the devotees travel along. Pure devotees, they travel and they sanctify the places they visit. So when they visit, we must have proper dealings with them, and we must open ourselves to be instructed, to be corrected, to be chastised, and take that in a proper perspective. The final aspect I want to touch is how the Lord deals with the devotees and what is inside the mind of the Lord and how He reveals His nature in this particular section of Ambarish Maharaj and Vasini episode. And this section is where Prabhupada quotes that particular section. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is dependent on His pure devotees. So the way the Lord deals with the devotees will help us to understand how we should deal with the devotees. The way the Lord keeps the devotees very close to His heart will help us to keep devotees close to our heart. Along with worshipping Guru, that is Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade, Anjayama. So, the Lord will be happy if we take the practice of worshipping them, not only your initiating guru but other Vaishnavas as well, in within your heart. One may not be able to have loving exchanges with all the devotees, but understanding how the Lord has loving exchange with devotees, we can come to the platform first to start to mentally worship devotees, and then once you do that, by understanding the Lord's dealings and by His grace, you will be able to develop good relationships. So, let us look at the Lord's own words from the 9th canto. This is 9:4. This is the scenario where the Lord is going and surrendering to Lord Narayana, and he is begging to save him from the scorching heat of Sudarshan Chakra. So 9462, Gurdwara is saying to the Lord, "O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense." So offense to a devotee, you are surrendering to the Lord and you are praising the Lord. You can do everything. For if a person is fit for one health, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your Lordship. So Durvasana is praising the Lord and asking for a favor to excuse him for offending a devotee. That's where the Lord, instead of directly chastising Durvasana, he reveals his heart. But devotees to be with him to enjoy. Since few devotees give up their home, their wife, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me. And those are the things that are mentioned here. And the qualities of pure devotee. That's what the Lord is revealing. And they don't have any desire for material improvement in this life or the next. So they are not interested in karma and activities. How can I give up such devotees at any time? So the Lord gives an analogy. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone, the qualities are being described here. Pure devotees are equal to everyone, completely attached to me in the core of their heart. And earlier we saw a description of the pure devotee, they don't have any material desires. They have given up their home, their wife, their children. Yad dhamartya shurut priyatmatamaya. Lord Brahma will describe in his prayers also. My devotees who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service are not interested even in the four principles of liberation. Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya and Sarishri. Although these are automatically achieved by their service, what then is to be said of perishable happiness as elevation to higher planetary systems? Then the next famous verse. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. Sadhavo hridayam ayam, sadhunam hridayam paham, adanyam tena janati naham tevyo managati. So, here the Lord is revealing his own heart and his dealings with his pure devotees and giving hope for the devotees of the devotees also, and simultaneously telling this to Gurvasani and instructing him also in a very gentle way, not in a chastising way. Although he has done Gurvasani, has overcome by his lower nature, because Rasmi himself is also an exalted personality. When we are looking at episodes like this where great personalities make mistakes, we shouldn't look down upon them or quote them as bad examples. One should be cautious in that they are exalted personalities, like we have the episode of Prajapati Daksha or Lord Indra. They are devotees of the Lord. So they have, just like every living entity, they have higher nature and lower nature. Sometimes the lower nature overpowers. If it is that turn one day, it could be our turn any time to fall down. So one has to learn from these episodes with respect towards such devotees of the Lord. So, text 69, O Brahma, this is the Lord speaking to Dhruvasana, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. Because the Lord is now connected to Dhruvasana at the very level of the heart, now he is starting to communicate. So first you connect, then you communicate. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with therefore you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One so-called bogus, an employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus there is a subject, not the object, who is harmed. So, indirectly telling that you are going to get a bad reaction, not Ambarish Maharaj, so you better take proper steps. What are the proper steps? Go to him without delay. For a Brahmana, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious, but when acquired by a person who is not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. Such an indication of what is the higher nature, what is the lower nature within Guru Vasmani, and we should take it for us. O best of the Brahmanas, you should therefore go immediately to King Ambarish, the son of Maharaja Navaka. So the Lord is urging not to waste any of the time. I wish you all good fortune. So again, he is giving blessings. If you can satisfy Maharaj Ambarish, then there will be peace for you. So this is the dealings of the Lord with his devotees, and the promises that he makes that he takes care of the devotees, just like as a reading about how the fish is able to take care of its young fishes, and how the tortoise is able to meditate and take care. So like that, the Lord reveals how he takes care of the devotees. Lord Ram says that even if Lord Ram comes and surrenders, I will protect him. Sakrutkeva prabhumo is tavasmiti cha yachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadhami etat vratam mama. He is taking a vow that a person of low character as that of Ravana, to whom I can relate to, even such a person surrenders to Lord Rama, from today I am yours. So this is the internal mood of the Lord, and that is what is appreciated by Lord Brahma also in his prayers, recite and conclude. Lord Brahma is glorifying the Lord through his prayers. This is 10:14:35. Lord Brahma is appreciating the Lord in one sense, like a poetic way. Lord Brahma says, my mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you, Lord Krishna, could be found anywhere. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon the residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavana, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you. Even for the demons who come to kill him, Krishna gives himself to them, to Bhutana. He gave himself. At one stage, Bhutana wanted to throw Krishna away from her breast. She couldn't, so Krishna has given himself, not only Bhutana and all the family members, Bhutana the Sakula, the entire family, Krishna has given himself. Oh, Trinavata, come pick me up. Try to harm me, come. I will embrace you, but I will not leave you. So, that is the pure nature of the Lord, and that is the pure dealings of the devotees of Vrindavana who have given up their dhamma, artha, shuhrut, priya, atma, tamaya, and their own lives and hearts. Esham gocha nivasinam tapavam kim devarate tinash cheto vishva phala phalam thvadaparam putra payanu yati sarveshadiva putanam visakula kameva deva vita yadhamata shurut priya matanya pranashaya stakrithe. So this is the glory of the Lord. It is good to meditate on the passage of the Lord, which when done removes the dirt in the heart. And with a pure heart, let's try to welcome the Lord on His appearance, which is tomorrow. I'll conclude here. I'll see if there are any questions. And what we discussed. Okay, Grantrasana Pravatam Ki Jaya, Shila Prabhupada Ki.